things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to week 15 of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And the good guys pulled out a nail biter, 24-22 over the Browns. And before we get started, I'd just like to kind of set the stage a little bit. I'll just let you know we're recording on Wednesday, and I am not in my recording booth. I'm recording off my laptop speaker microphone. And reason being is that I had my right hip replaced last week. And the less stairs I have to do, because my booth is three levels down, the better for me. So we're going to try and make it happen here with just going off the computer. Does it sound okay?
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay, no good. Problem. You're just upset because it's the first time I sound better than you.
I don't know about that. You sound pretty good. All right, buddy. What did you think? 24-22 over the Browns. What's your take on the game?
Yeah, second week in a row of the Packers needing to fend off a comeback to come away with the win. They did everything they could to hold on against the Ravens, and they had to do it again this week with the Browns. We had, I think it was 10-point lead, double-digit 10-point lead in the third quarter. Seemed like we were kind of salting things away, and just got conservative and they got close. It seems to be a very common story for the Packers.
Yeah, it seemed like I totally agree with you. And we'll get more depth on my, I don't want to say disgust, but the defense. I mean, come on.
Disgust.
But I think the offense, I don't know, it just the first half to the second half was a lot different. I know they're playing vanilla, but I think they played a little too vanilla.
I would agree.
We weren't that far ahead. We'd got like 9 points ahead at one point. I can't remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's frustrating because, you know, Matt LaFleur is known as the all gas, no break coach. That's kind of his thing when he came into the Packers, but there's been a lot of breaks the last couple of weeks. And I mean, we were frustrated with that last season where it felt like, you know, that anytime they had a lead, they kind of started playing so conservative that these teams were still in it. We haven't seen that as much this year, but that's also partly because we've had a lot of close games. So maybe we haven't seen this team playing with much of a lead at all this year, especially the way we started in the first quarter. So I was kind of frustrated this week that we're seeing it again since the Ravens game last week, how conservative they're playing, not just on defense, but like you said, on offense. And it seemed weird to me because it wasn't something we had been seeing this year. But maybe it's just because we haven't been playing with a lead all that much.
Yeah, and it's a tough year to get with the, people, just every team's going through it with COVID. And then, it's tough any year with injuries. And so you got to dance the dance. And you always hope that maybe you have one or two less premium star players get hurt. But mm-hmm. I don't know. It was a weird game. I watched the highlights again today. I was thinking about watching the whole game again because I still have it recorded. But I thought, I don't think so.
Did you watch the highlights.
I did as well. Did you hear that? Baker Mayfield and his wife have received death threats. The dog pound is not happy.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
A Cleveland fan. They have the winning record, right? They should be happy about that. Never mind.
No,
they were 8-7. They're 7-8. Okay, never mind. Yeah, I understand Cleveland. I was going to say, at least they have a winning record. They can't say that in the last decade or two, but then I was like, oh, wait. I guess they don't have a winning record, but
really, it, I mean, if they don't really,
need death threats,
that's crazy.
Yeah, that sounds like some European soccer league stuff right there.
Yeah, true.
But so a couple points to I want to touch on with this game, and I'll just fire them off here and we can talk about whatever you want, is one, Rodgers breaks Favre's all-time Packers touchdown record.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Rasul Douglas with two more interceptions on the game. Three, Jaire Alexander officially activated back onto the team.
Don't get too excited now.
As of 5 or 6 hours ago. So those are my top three to just bang out there and see what you think.
Well, when you bring up Rasul Douglas, that's three home games in a row that he's gotten at least one interception. Mm-hmm. He got two in this game. That second one, he got away with a little pulling on the jersey there.
Yeah, he did, but that's a 50-50 call no matter who the team is. You see him when they fight at the line, it's really kind of ticky-tack. So I didn't feel too bad about that.
Of course you didn't.
Well, no, like I do. You know me, I admit when it's a call that went the wrong way, and that's how they were playing the whole game. That's my thing. I don't care if they don't call that, because they didn't call that the whole game. We had multiple calls go against us with similar play calling. As long as the refs are consistent, that's a lot more of a big deal for me than which calls they're making and not. If it's consistent throughout the whole game, I'm always more okay with that.
I agree with you. If you're going to stink the whole game.
That's right. Rasul Douglas did drop another interception, by the way. He could have had three on the day.
Wow.
Stokes dropped one as well.
So we mentioned the Mayfields are getting death threats because of his play. He did throw, not that it's makes it worthy, but he did throw four interceptions. He ended up the game 21 mm-hmm. of 36, 222 yards, two touchdowns, and again, four interceptions. That gives him a QBR quarterback rating of 35.2.
Mm-hmm.
And he got that 0.2.
I know. I mean, you've talked about how injured he is this year, and I know that's a big deal, but I don't think he's the guy. You know, I think he's good. He's above average, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And they've had a lot of below average quarterbacks in Cleveland. So I think initially, like, there's so much hype around his name, but then also he didn't need to look that great off the bat for Cleveland to be more than happy with him. But I think now that they got used to the fact that here he is, and this might be his ceiling, it doesn't seem like he has all that much potential to just shatter the ceiling he's kind of put on himself of, you know, above average. So,
well, it was a lot of hype coming out into the NFL.
And does he remind you at all of Jay Cutler? Sorry. Not attitude wise, talent wise, I would say he's got
just
heck of an arm. Can't quite put together the all-star, like superstar games, and also has an interception, like just bad decision-making problem.
He, I don't know if I compare to Cutler. Cutler doesn't have his feet. So, although Cutler could move, but yeah. Mayfield, he's got some really good feet.
Yeah. He's not really a runner though. He's still more that pocket mm-hmm. quarterback. I don't know. It's overall though, we should have been able to stop their offense more.
I
know
agree.
We got four interceptions on Mayfield, but they ran for, I wrote it down here. It was
219.
Yeah, 219 total yards, but 9 yards per carry. That's the big number.
Oh, I know.
Like, I know 200 something yards is never fun, but 9 yards a carry, almost a first down every rush. And they stopped doing it in the fourth quarter. Like, part of the reason they lost this game is, I think, why are you not running the ball?
I don't know.
If we can't stop you.
Their star running back, Nick, I've never had my name made fun of, Chubb. He came up with 126 yards, mm-hmm. and he's the first 100-yard rusher the defense has given up all year.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
It was rough, though. Like, we have talked so much this season, or at least I have, about the tackling and the team tackles, the, you know, getting to the ball with multiple defenders fast, just like the fundamental tackles and stuff. And I think I talked about it pretty extensively last week. And man, did that go out the window this game. You still saw guys trying to wrap up and make good tackles at points, but you also saw a lot of guys just kind of mailing it in.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, not going for tackles they could, or not going for them as much as they could, or I don't know. It wasn't the energy we've seen from this team. And that's kind of the main thing we've talked about with the Packers here, is that when they have a bad game, they don't live up to their potential. It always seems to be an energy problem. It's not talent. They're not getting outgunned. It's they come into some of these games just so lackluster.
I agree. I think that it's been about a month now. The defense hasn't been looking as great as they were at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. So they've been kind of falling down a little bit. And I don't know, again, injuries, COVID, I don't know. But
and also
that last touchdown by the Browns that brought them within two, that was just an embarrassment. Nobody knew where they were supposed to be. That was bad.
I don't think it's that no one knew where they were supposed to be. I think Eric Stokes, my boy, made a mistake on that one. I think he was supposed to stick with the guy, and he kind of handed it off. He thought he was kind of working with Campbell, I think he thought, where he was playing a zone with him, and that Sullivan would cover the guy, and it seemed like Stokes was supposed to be on him the whole time. But I think that's more Stokes. That's a rookie mistake right there.
Well,
but it was definitely ugly.
For me, it seems like we forgot what the whole idea and setting the edge on defense means, because they were just bouncing out.
Yeah.
They were doing the jet plays and it was working. Thank God for Kenny Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
the whole time at the line was frustrating, the whole game. And I don't really know. We had guys step up and make plays. We looked bad tackling and stopping the run, but we just looked different overall. Like you talked about them looking more conservative. It wasn't even just conservative play calling though. They didn't have that, that energy, I guess, on defense. They didn't have that like recklessness they've been playing with the whole season, where you're flying to the ball, you know, you got different guys, you know, maybe not making the tackle, but going all out for it. You know, I don't know if they just didn't have that this game. They didn't have that fly around the field, do whatever you need to do mentality.
Well, I'm hoping that it
makes you a little nervous for the playoffs, because yeah, there's a history of them not showing up emotionally to games.
That's what I'm hoping they had there, that this game was that game.
Yeah,
it's coming up here, but I don't know. It's frustrating. I don't know how you have a hard time. You need to win out now to get that number one seed in the NFC. If Dallas keeps winning, the strength of schedule, I'll go into it a little bit here, but what else do you need to get up? I mean, come on, you're just a couple of weeks away from the playoffs. I guess we can keep harping on it, but we do pretty much every week when they play like this. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned COVID. I think it was yesterday, the Packers placed tight end Mercedes Lewis and linebacker Owen Burks on the COVID list. And that brings their number of players sideline with COVID to 12.
Missing Mercedes Lewis is a big deal there. He's not just a good blocker, but he's a leader for sure on the offense.
He's consistent. He's just consistently mm-hmm. consistent.
Yep. And he brings the energy. He's one of those guys that brings that energy, from what I've heard. Yeah, it's a bummer to see him go out. Oren Burks hasn't had the best season. Definitely not the season I thought he was going to have, with just the amount of speed that he has. But he's been so overshadowed by Campbell this year.
Mm-hmm.
Who in this game had a decent game, 13 tackles, again, 12 solo tackles.
That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, he's flying around still. He's making plays. That touchdown you talked about where they look so confused, I don't think that was his fault. Obviously, I don't know for sure. But individual performances, we had a good number of good ones on defense. Like Campbell looked good. Rasul Douglas looked good. And then Rashawn Gary, I don't think he has. Oh, he does have pretty good numbers because he had the 2 sacks and 2 tackles for a loss. 5 pressures overall. That is a huge game for Gary.
Oh, wow.
So we definitely had guys step up. And I just think a lot of the mistakes on defense came as kind of a team as a whole, where it wasn't just one guy kind of having a horrible game. On Stokes, I don't remember, but it wasn't that non-call where he got the interception, the last one there. I think it was tipped at the line a little. They showed on the replay.
I believe it was. I believe
so
it was.
So technically, it's also not a penalty, if that's the case, if it happened as the ball was being thrown. Campbell did have 4 completions that he gave up in coverage, which has been kind of his main weakness, I would say. Like he's been so good this year, especially in the run game, but the coverage is where he can kind of get beat if they try to bring him down the field. And even though he allowed 4 completions in the game, he didn't allow anything deep, nothing more than 8 yards. So that's good too.
Yeah, that is good. Okay, I just wanted to throw this out here for I gave you the Baker Mayfield stats. Just throw it to Aaron. Mm-hmm. He was 24 of 34, 202 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, quarterback rating of 76.0. And you think about that, it's getting that time of year in Green Bay where you try to run the ball more, throw the ball less, but they really didn't run the ball very that much. I was surprised we didn't see more running plays.
Well, yeah. And I was going to say, with Rodgers' numbers, keep in mind, he got all those touchdowns and most of the yards at the end of the first quarter and in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. We were so lackluster on offense in the second half. It's frustrating. But you talked about Dylan. We didn't see him or Jones very much at all. Jones had 12 carries, 66 yards. Dylan only had 9 carries for 41 yards.
I know.
At the end of the game, though, when we needed that first down to salt it away, because they had 3 timeouts. And I think we had like almost 50 seconds on the clock. Dylan, he was the guy. You know, he gets hit at the line, falls forward for 5 yards, you know, gets a 2-yard run where they stop him. And then he ends up getting pushed forward by the line for a first down. They didn't stop him at the end of the game. Why are we not using him more?
I have no idea.
So who knows? He's hopefully he's still going to be fresh at the end of
the season. Right. I mean, Aikman was giggling when Dylan had a couple of runs where he was basically stopped within a yard of the line and then just pushes the whole line and they get that first down. It's just like, I don't get it, baby. Put him in there. Get the first downs.
Yeah, I don't get it either. Because not only were we playing conservative in the second half with the lead, but we weren't shooting for the first downs, like salting it away with AJ Dillon. You know, we weren't pounding the ball. We were still putting it up, which I guess goes back to the all gas, no break, but we were not doing it well. We were still playing conservative. I mean, we had double end arounds, like he's doing a fake end around and then giving it to the other receiver going the other way, who's just getting blown up 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage. It's like, let's stop getting so sneaky about this, guys. We know we can move the ball on them. Let's just do that.
Right.
I mean, it's 3rd and 3. We're 3rd and 1. Okay. 3rd and 1 in the 4th quarter to put the game away. And we run it to the left tackle, who is a 4th string left tackle. And it turns out he couldn't hold the edge. Well, maybe you don't run it at the 4th string guy when you need the first down. And I don't like to harp on the play calling much with Matt LaFleur because it's so night and day from what we had with McCarthy that it's hard to complain. But there was some very questionable decisions when it comes to the timing of the plays that were called. Like, that is not when you call that play in the game. Like, I know you have some gadget plays or some, you know, got to have them plays, but you got to call them at the right time.
On a positive note, was that... Was that Lazard who caught that deep pass along the sideline with one hand? Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was Lazard.
Mm-hmm. That was unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of non-calls, 50 yards. He had to catch it with one hand because the other arm was being grabbed by the defender.
I don't have a problem with that.
So all these, you know, Packers win because they get the calls I've been seeing since the game online. Yeah, they don't get all the calls. And that's kind of what I was talking about, the consistency. I was getting frustrated this whole game with non-calls in the passing game. But if they don't make those calls all game, it's like an umpire in baseball who has a bigger strike zone or a smaller mm-hmm. strike zone than others. You adapt to the umpire. That's the human factor. And so if the calls are consistently not there, I'm more okay with it. But that was a heck of a grab by Lazard.
That was fantastic. It was really fun, you know, but that first mm-hmm. half, it just felt like, okay, this might be one of those back and forth games, you know, and it was good football for the most part. Mm-hmm. Some frustration.
But we ended it on fire. Like the first quarter didn't look good, but we scored off the turnover at the end of the first quarter. And then second quarter, we got 14 points. It was 21-12
yep.
going into halftime. And you felt like we were going to just keep building that lead.
Right. And then you come out and you get a field goal in the third quarter and don't score anything in the fourth quarter.
Well, how do you feel about, you know, them moving down the field at the end of the game to try to win it? And they're only down by two, not even down by three, where like they can tie it with a field goal, but a field goal wins it for them. That was a little stressful. Glad Douglas got the interception, but also it kind of shows you how important that missed extra point was for the Browns. The touchdown they got in the first quarter, they missed the extra point. You know, it's a whole different ending to the game if that's not the case.
It wasn't that hit. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to say they could have gone for two earlier on to tie it rather than having down by two and needing a field goal to win, is what I was going to say.
Their kicker, I believe that was the first time he ever suited up for an NFL game. So that extra point.
That was his debut.
That was the first time he ever kicked in an NFL game, and he was wide right.
Wide right, indeed. a lot of kickers this year. It's been such a weird year. Did you see with COVID? I'm going to mess up these numbers. So this is a guesstimate. It was something like 300-something players all last season were tested positive and had to quarantine for COVID. And we've had over 700 now since the beginning of – or I think since Thanksgiving, beginning of November, Thanksgiving or something, like over double just in the last month or two here of the season compared to last season. And
that's crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah, they just changed the standards too. Like if they're shortening up how much time you have to take off.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I've been kind of surprised this whole time they're doing anything league-wide. Like this whole testing players, making them quarantine. Mm-hmm. I think if they could take that away, they would. I bet the NFL regrets that. I bet what they want right now is to say, this is not our responsibility. The NFL is run by has always been run by the owners of the teams. We're going to leave it up to them on a team-by-team basis. I think if they were making the decision money-wise now, knowing what COVID is, that's what they would have done.
Yeah, that's kind of what they've said, you know, that the NFL is just a PR machine. They're so good at saying one thing one way and then saying it a second way. And it's like, well, we really didn't kind of, you know, we're just going to leave it up to the teams. But it's... I mean, it's a fluid situation we're in the pandemic. And so things are changing. People are learning new things, whether that's learning new things or learning that the stuff we used to believe in was wrong. So
that sounds like COVID.
Yeah, it sure does.
Which, by the way, with this Omicron stuff blowing up all the injuries in the league, I know of three people. Around me here that have what they are currently describing as the worst sinus infection they've ever had. And it all happened just in the last 5 days here. Three unconnected people. So that's a little concerning.
It's just on fire. But
yeah,
it's like I was talking to Marcia, my wife, Sean's mother, about people, what they forget is like somebody, perception's reality. Some people believe that their reality is everybody's reality. And so if they had a mild case of COVID, they think everybody has a mild case of COVID. And the people that are complaining so much, they're just complainers because they had a mild case. So it's something we're going to have to deal with
for a while. But that's even logical. I know people who have lost family members and still won't admit that it's a thing, that COVID is an actual danger or like something we need to do something about. And they're so invested in their beliefs. I don't think it's changing.
Well, they're having issues with people. You've heard about people getting into fights on airplanes. They have fights in hospitals because people will not let the hospital put down that it was COVID that they contracted or their loved one died from. It's like, wow, there's no end. Okay, we got to stop this.
It's okay. We can talk about whatever we want. This is our podcast.
I think people get kind of exhausted with all the COVID talk.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do you want to do a quick commercial for a cool design company?
Yeah, we can do that. I think I mentioned the holidays are always a slow time of the year for me, so this is a great time to jump in with your project. It's greenlightgraphicdesign.com. I do graphic design and marketing full time for work for a couple nonprofits in Minnesota. And on the side, I do freelance, any kind of professional design that you need, whether it's online social media designs or in-person professional printed materials. I can do it all. So greenlightgraphicdesign.com.
Well, normally at this time, I would tell you about voiceguynextdoor.com. I'd love for you to go check out the demos and stuff like that. It's a pretty simple website. I should probably hire Greenlight Graphic Design to help me with that. But
do you feel self-conscious talking about your voiceover business on your laptop microphone?
It does, yes. Very, very
I
much
bet you
so.
Do. Knowing you with how you are with sound quality.
I don't have my big microphone in front of me, and the fact I'm not sure what's going on with my health here, it should be okay, but I'd love for you to go check it out, you know, voiceguynextdoor.com. but that's my soft sell today. All right, would you like to do the game ball, sir?
I didn't think of that. Let me look through the numbers here quick.
Well, you go ahead and look through the numbers. I got some stuff here I can share.
Okay.
Packers find themselves in a familiar position, if you remember last year.
All right, I got one.
With two games left in the season. PackerNews.com said that with a win coupled by a Dallas Cowboy loss, Packers will clinch the top overall seed. They hold the tiebreaker over Tampa Bay with a better record of common opponents and also the Rams because of a head-to-head victory. But Cowboys hold the tiebreaker over because of a better conference record. But if they lose this week and the Packers win, it won't matter.
What is their record, Cowboys? 11-4. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, McCarthy's really having a good year over there. That's going to be a fun playoff game if McCarthy comes to Lambeau.
Oh, it would be wonderful. And think about how different it is this year, too. Now we're playing at home. You used to say last year, we talk about how much of a home field advantage are you getting when you don't have the fans. Mm-hmm. Now the Packer fans get to come back to the playoffs. Can you imagine how excited they're going to be?
Full stadium, too. I mean, they were at 81,441 against the Browns, 96% capacity. Yeah, it's going to be full, especially a playoff game against the Cowboys. I can't even imagine with McCarthy coming home what those ticket prices will be. Because Packer-Cowboys games are always inflated to begin with, and that'll just be nuts if that's the case.
Well, then you get the inflating with the Packer fans and the the Cowboy fans on America's team. Everybody know who's real America's team is.
Well, Texas doesn't even want to be part of America, so can they really claim that much longer?
No, you said it wrong.
Okay.
They don't want to be part of America.
Oh, I see.
You don't pronounce the A. It's America. America. Are you ready?
Speaking of Cowboys, though, McCarthy dropped 56 points on the football team.
Oh, yeah. But there was barely a football team to show up.
Yeah, but Washington. 56 points is still fun to see if you're the coach over there. Or,
yeah.
True. Or if you're a Cowboys fan, especially because you hate Washington if you're a Cowboys fan.
Hey, I lived out in D.C. I did radio out there. And
your wife used to be a Washington fan because of that.
Yes, she was. And that is true. They hate each other. And they just, that is honest when they talk about how much angst there is between those two fan bases and players too. They get into it as well. But all right, let's do this, baby. Yeah. Let's do
the set me up. Ball. Set me up on the spike. Outside linebacker Rashawn Gary with an elite pass rush grade and 5 total pressures, including 2 sacks with 3 defensive stops. Just a wrecking ball on a very porous defense this game.
Yeah.
So I think by far he gets the game ball because not only did he get sacks in 2 very opportune times, one of them being a 3rd down in the red zone that pushed him into a field goal. He was just blowing up the pocket. Even times he didn't get the pressure on this game, he was still just a force on that defensive line. So it's nice to have him back in there with Kenny Clark. If we did get Za'Darius Smith back before the end of the season, it would be really fun to see how Gary's playing now compared to last year. He's really come into his own. See him out there with Za'Darius. I still don't think we see Smith, though.
I don't know. I'm starting to say the same thing with Bakhtiari. You know, it's like, not sure. Don't have anything new. Maybe next week. Not sure. Maybe next week. So,
I mean, they obviously have hope for him. Mm-hmm. He'd be on IR if they didn't think he could make it back. So it's not like they're just stringing everyone along going, you know,
that's what they're doing.
Yeah,
that's what they're doing. Yep.
I don't know. If you see the press conferences, I think LaFleur looks just as confused about Bakhtiari as anyone else. Like, they ask him, and he seems genuinely like, I don't know. Like,
or you could do the Belichick thing and no change.
Because what was his injury again, Bakhtiari?
Wasn't it an ACL?
Is it?
I thought he had 2. I thought he had like a pectoral thing, and then he also had a knee thing. But it's been so long. I don't know.
That's what I'm looking up now.
It was last year, wasn't it? The end of last year?
I don't know. Let me look here. I thought it was this year.
Well, while you're looking.
Because Za'Darius Smith, I think he tore his bicep or something. Like, that's always a gross injury. I don't know if you ever see those.
Well, I had some tendons ripped off mine few years ago. That wasn't fun.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Oh my god, I'm trying to find about the Bakhtiari injury, and the first 2 websites have a paywall.
Well, let me just talk about what's
it was a torn ACL. Sorry.
Okay, you do. That's all you need me to do. As soon as I'm gonna start saying something, you go, oh, I got it.
Well, I'm quick, and you're
no, that wasn't quick. That's why I was jumping in.
Oh, I said it before you started talking. Still quick.
All right, some of the other scores: Packers over the Browns 24-22. It had the Colts over the Cardinals. I don't know if I should have been surprised by that or not.
I had the Colts to win that one.
Oh, okay.
Colts are looking good this year. They are a team, they're probably the only team, because they're AFC, right?
Yes,
they're the only team I would put us even with in a Super Bowl matchup.
Really?
Wow. Right now in the AFC.
Lions once again losing a crusher at the end of the game. Had the Rams over the Vikings. Yay, hey.
They asked Dan Campbell, by the way, today, if he would suit up because of all the injuries. You see that?
No, I didn't.
He said he'd consider it, except he'd be leaving a kneecap and ankle on the ground afterwards.
The Bills got revenge on the Patriots, 33-21. That's Bengals.
Belichick, by the way, looked like his soul's a little crushed after that. Did you see the post-game conference?
I did not.
There's a coach. I think it was Bill Parcells. I think it was him, which would be ironic because he was the Bills coach, right?
Well, Bill has been around. He was the Giants.
Oh, he was Giants. That's right. That was his main team. That was where he made his career. That's right.
Yep.
He said as he got older, he lost his ability to come back from losses. They just hurt him so much emotionally. And you wonder how Belichick's doing post Tom Brady, where he's really doing everything he can to turn those Patriots around, but they're really, you know, they're winning some good games, but they've had their nose snubbed a couple times recently here. And it just looks like he's so drained in the post game conferences. Like he can't handle it emotionally.
Well, he's got a rookie quarterback who's doing pretty darn good. So I think your upside, do what you can this year. And then now you got something to really work with. Just saying, the Bengals over the Ravens, 41-21, had the Bears eke out a win over the Seahawks. Boy, the Seahawks this year, just bad.
Mm-hmm.
Tough year for them. Broncos losing to the Raiders. That's always a tough game against those two. Chiefs had it easy over the Steelers. Sean told you about the Cowboys over the football team. And Saints lost to the Dolphins.
Yeah, they did. Saints go and beat up on Tom Brady and then lose to the Dolphins, who have won seven straight after losing seven straight.
Yeah, it's impressive. And the Saints only scored 3 points. But, I mean, they've had been such a dysfunctional team with injuries and COVID, quarterbacks being hurt repeatedly. So what was I going to say? Coming up next for the Packers, it's Sunday night, the Vikings come to town, and I checked the long range forecast, and it's supposed to be 3 above with a west southwest wind at 5 to 10. So it's gonna be nice and chilly.
Nice. That wasn't the case last year, was it? Didn't they play? It was either week 1 or 2 at Lambeau, I think.
Yeah, I typically play a lot of times. I'll play earlier in the year at Lambeau.
Yeah, so I know last year we did not have a cold weather game against them. It'll be interesting.
Just in case you didn't know, the Vikings beat the Bears on that barn burner on Monday night, 17-9. So that is what I got for you there.
What was that?
I said, that's what I got for you there.
Okay. But no, that's what I was asking. Who beat the Bears?
I think I got it. I think I went back too far when I looked.
I think went back a week or something.
Yeah, I did.
Because Giants played the Bears Sunday.
I just said the Bears over the Seahawks. Ding dong. Yeah, you're right. It was... it was a while back for the Monday night game.
But, yeah. All right. Sounds good. I was very confused. For some reason, I didn't even assume you misspoke. I'm like, man, I'm really messed up in that.
Welcome to my world, brother.
Yeah.
Really good.
You want me to go over the picks here?
Yeah, would you?
All right. So with a couple weeks left in the season and some playoffs, not that the playoffs will really help me because it's probably only going to be the Packers in it, maybe the Vikings here. Browns at Packers, we both took the Packers. Lions at Falcons, which, by the way, you went into this last week up 5.
Okay.
Lions at Falcons, I took Falcons and they won. Bears at Seahawks, I took Bears, they beat the Seahawks 25-24. And then Rams at Vikings, you took the Rams, I took the Vikings. Rams win it. You are now up by 4. I got one on you.
You did. All right. It's always weird because you know, it's kind of like post follow up on our picks. And after you saw the games and the scores and stuff like that, and then I'm like, oh, I know I didn't pick the Seahawks. It's like, wait a minute. I think I did pick the Seahawks. So,
yeah, it's hard to remember, but the Vikings also didn't look as good as I thought they would. I really did think they would beat the Rams or at least bring it down to the wire like they do every game. But it wasn't a great game for them.
Okay.
From what I saw of highlights.
You think if they don't make the playoffs or they're one and done in the playoffs, Zimmer is gone, their head coach?
I think so. I honestly, if I were them, I would keep him as a defensive coordinator because I think he is consistently one of the best defensive coaches and schemers in the league.
I agree.
I know a lot of the fan base is calling for his head right now. And whether that should be a factor or not in a team's decision to keep their coach, it does seem to be a factor.
Of course.
Happy. So yeah. I would guess he's probably gone. Because even if they win the next two games, they're 9-8. I don't know if that's good enough to make the playoffs, even in the extra slot.
I've been saying for years, and I used to say it on the radio when I was on the radio, but made people too angry. But Rick Spielman is the general manager and has been for years and years and years. And I think at some point you got two factors. One, you see that Rick is doing everything right and it's always the coach. Or two, the Wilf family is the family that owns the Vikings. And you look at it and you say, hey, our football team is going to be worth billions and billions and billions as this gambling thing takes off. Our fan base, yeah, they're not happy, but, you know, they're still buying tickets. They're still getting merchandise. So we'll just keep it the way it is.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I don't know many Viking fans planning on jumping ship, so I guess it works. All right, let's do our picks here.
They're a pretty mediocre team. I mean, every year they might be a little bit more, a little bit less.
Yeah. But I mean, I saw some people talking about the rivalry, the Packers division rivalries online a bit ago, and they were all talking about how some people pretend like the Vikings aren't the bigger rivalry, but it's definitely the Bears. And I mean, the Vikings are probably the biggest rivalry for us because we have lived in central Minnesota for so long.
Yeah. I got just a brief argument with somebody on Reddit when I said that people think it's the Vikings and Packers, but it's really the Bears and Packers. And some people came out and go, well, you're showing your age. All the old timers like the Bears.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason. That's the thing I was going to say. Like, the Vikings are the only team that has consistently been able to field a good team against us in the last decade and a half. Mm-hmm. So that's something as far as the rivalry there. But how do you feel going into this next game?
I wish we
eked one out against the Tyler Huntley Ravens, and then we barely held on against the Mayfields.
I think we'll win it. I'd like to see us really turn it up, get it going, have a really fun game, go into Detroit afterwards and finish off the season with a win. So I'm going to say, if we're picking right now, right, you're for the game. So I'll say the Packers will win.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, we can pick now. Okay. I always kind of gloss over the Packers pick because we're so biased.
Of course we are.
But here's what I think will happen. I think we will be losing at halftime and we will win it right at the end. I think we'll have a lead that we hold on to. But what I would like to see is that we probably are the scariest team in the league right now. Like, if you had to play someone in the playoffs, I would guess Rodgers and the Packers with a decent defense are the last team you want to see. But we really haven't shown ourselves to be a juggernaut in any way. We're winning these games. We're 12-3, but we're dealing with so much as we go. And it seems like every time we patch a hole that we see in the game, like, this was the first game where we're not just lamenting the special teams and all the special teams mistakes. And instead of talking about how it's a complete performance, we're like, well, there goes the defense.
Right.
So we don't have that complete game to just, you know, drop that 50 burger like McCarthy did to the football team. We need to just destroy them to show that we are the number one seed for a reason. I just don't see it happening.
What is your pick? Okay. Yeah, that was a long answer.
I thought I started out with that. We'll win. But yeah, I think we'll win. I think it's going to be a close game where we are losing at halftime, but hopefully it's, I think we need a blowout. We need a confidence building blowout for this team.
I agree. And have fun doing it. All right. So the next game, the Giants come to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Who you got? Or you want me to go first?
Why don't you go first?
All right. I got the Bears.
The Bears?
Da Bears.
I'll go with the Giants just for giggles.
All right. Sounds good. How about Lions at Seahawks? Who you got?
Again, I don't, I've got a soft spot for the Lions team because they play so hard. But they're at Seahawks. I'll go with the Seahawks.
Okay. I got Lions. I like that. I was going to pick Lions anyways, but probably would have had to switch to the Seahawks if he took the Lions. So this works for me. hard to know, though. Like, these first two picks, Giants at Bears. All I know about the Giants is that they have not looked good at all this year. All I know about the Seahawks is that they have not looked good at all this year. So it's like, usually we pick against the Bears and Lions, but it's hard to know at this point.
Tough year.
Yeah. So I'm banking on the North. I got Bears, Lions, and Packers. Screw the Vikings.
That's not the first time you said that. Yeah.
Maybe that's why I'm saying this has to be our big blowout game. This is where we make a statement because I want it to happen against Minnesota.
They're going to be clawing, though. They got to win their next two games to have a chance.
I mean, that's what, you know, we're getting. The Ravens were clawing. The Browns were clawing. Everyone's in that playoff hunt, especially with the extended season and the extra spot. I don't know if you – did you see Rodgers talking a couple weeks ago here? I think it was on that show he does on Tuesdays.
Pat McAfee?
Yeah, thank you. And he was saying that the Packers always get the best of every team. We are a lot of teams Super Bowl for the season where – I think you said you're either going to Lambeau Field, which is an iconic location in the NFL storied stadium, or you're playing the damn Packers. And you got to step up because it's just the Packers, and that has, you know, having them come into your home is a big deal.
I agree. Yeah, I think that is a truth, but I think that there's other teams right now that also have the same thing. So we're not the only one. But how about, if we don't have to go into it because I know we got to wrap it up here, but I find it funny when you the iconic stadium of Lambeau Field. Yeah, it is. There's no doubt about it. But these other stadiums, you know, they get 15 years in them and they start talking about, we're going to either have to put in $1.5 billion or build a $3 billion stadium.
Yeah, let's get the local tax money going. We got to sell it from this company to this company so they can put their name on the stadium. And I mean, that's why, sorry, go ahead.
It's blatant. You don't need to get a new stadium. You can do this. You know, Boston Red Sox, Wrigley Field, you know, just these iconic stadiums, they make them work. But
I mean, you make them work, but like you said, it's about making money. They could run the NFL in half the stadiums they do. It's the same reason the Olympics build a new Olympic plaza with stadiums and hotels and everything in some country that can't afford it every time, because it's all these contractors and there's a whole population of people that make money off of it. We could have the Olympics every year in Greece or something at the same place and not, you know, devastate all these countries' economies each time. But like you said, it's about money. We don't have to get into it too much. It's really kind of, you see it this year though, with the stock sale, the Packers selling stock, and Packer fans are always so supportive of it. But then you see fans from all these other teams acting like Packer fans are stupid, you know, like, okay, there they go again, buying stock for their team that is, has no value and stuff. And, you know, not understanding why. It's like, well, maybe the reason we do it is so that we do have the iconic Lambeau Field and it's not Crypto Stadium or some crap. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Like, there's a reason it's Lambeau Field.
Well, and these, you know, people are going to hate, you know, and when you're successful as the Packers have been for as long as they have, they're going to hate on you. But I'd also say to the same person that talks about how stupid it is to buy stock, how about how stupid it is to spend $400 or $500 at a jersey?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. You're supporting the team.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of ways we're all supporting the NFL. Anyone who's listening to this show, you're just as bad as us.
And thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it wherever you do. If you get a chance, you can like us and comment where you get your podcasts. Come join us on Facebook, Bleeding Green and Gold. And I hope you are having a wonderful holiday season.
Yeah. Yeah. We appreciate everyone listening. It's always fun to do this. And we're just glad you're here. Glad you're getting some enjoyment out of it like we do.
All right. Until after the Vikings win, until next week, go
Pack.
Go.
You know, with this every other thing, you always get the go. So you get two. I want the go next week. You get the Pack.
We'll talk about it next week.
Sure, we will. Hogging all the goes.
We'll talk to your mom.
Okay. She'll settle it.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!